Hi there. We're so glad you found the Fabric Podcast. Before you start listening, we wanted to let you know that this is one of our earlier episodes where our show was called The Check-In. On these episodes, we talk about the company, giving you insight into who we are and what we do. But in 2019, we realized we really want to focus more on company culture. So we refocused and renamed the podcast. So just a heads up that this earlier episode is still us, the team from The Receptionist, but just with a different show name and a slightly different focus. Thanks for listening. On this episode of The Check-In, we're joined by Andy Alsop, President and CEO of The Receptionist. He's here to talk to us about jobs to be done. This is a really interesting concept that you definitely want to learn more about. Andy and his company are using this idea to help really figure out what are the jobs that people are hiring the receptionist to do. We talk milkshakes, we talk Snickers bars, and we really take a look at why jobs to be done matters for companies, not just when they're purchasing software, but it might even have an impact on how you do business. Check it out. Well, I am excited that President and CEO of The Receptionist, Andy Alsop, is with us today. How are you, Andy?
Doing great, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for being here. Okay, before we get into our topic, can you just tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are with The Receptionist?
Of course. So I've been an entrepreneur for about 22 years in technology, and I've gone through a series of different startups. And most of my experience actually has been in startups in New Mexico. And 3.5 years ago, I decided to transition my entrepreneurial pursuits to Denver, Colorado.
Oh, wow.
And since doing that, I actually purchased what was then called the iPad Receptionist. And I moved it from Boulder down to Denver. I started at a folding table in Denver inside of a co-working space called Industry. And it was a part-time sales guy and myself at a folding table. And that's where it all kind of started.
Wow.
We had 175 locations at that time. And now 3 years later, we're close to 2,000 locations. So
that's amazing.
We're really having a great time.
Yeah, that's huge growth. Very cool. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We are talking about a subject that I hear you're pretty excited and passionate about. And this is jobs to be done. So start off, for anyone not familiar, what the heck is jobs to be done? What does that even mean?
It's an interesting topic, actually. Our director of engineering, Delyn Berry, came to me once and said, have you heard of this thing called jobs to be done? I said, no, I'd never heard of it. And so he sent me a couple of links, and I started to dig in. The first one that I looked at or watched was from Clayton Christensen.
Mm-hmm.
Clayton is a professor at Harvard Business School. He's written many books. He's pretty famous. And he's one of the fathers of jobs to be done. And I watched a couple of videos about jobs to be done and learned that really what you're trying to do is to determine what is the job that you're hiring any product to do. And so there's a couple of examples of that. I think I shared some of those with you as well. One of them is known now as just the milkshake example. And the idea behind it was that Clayton and several of their associates were doing a research for a large fast food chain, and they were trying to boost the sales of milkshakes. And so they went in and they began to observe who was buying milkshakes, and they found that people were buying them at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was so interesting. They said half the people bought them at 8 a.m. and they were on their own, and they took them with them to go.
Right, exactly.
Just that alone is fascinating.
Fascinating. And they thought this needs to be investigated further. And it's funny because they were doing the research from inside the store.
Right.
So they realized next day, let's go outside the store and let's ask these people, why are they getting a milkshake?
I know, they kind of harassed the people.
They've got
your milkshake. I got questions for you. It's before 8 a.m. Let's chat.
Exactly. Why are you buying that milkshake? And it turns out, if you watch the video, and you can just go to YouTube and just say,
we'll put the link
with
for everyone.
Like Christian, you'll find, they'll be able to see it. Really, really fascinating. And it turns out that people were buying it because they had a long commute, they were somewhat bored, and they needed something that would allow them to sort of get through their commute. And they tried things like a banana, but you're done with a banana in a couple seconds and you got this peel. They did a donut and then those crumbs all over the place, and it kind of didn't fill them up or do anything. So they realized a nice cold milkshake to start their drive out, it would take them the whole drive to finish it. And by the time they got to work, they felt full. So it did the job that they wanted it to do for them. They didn't know they were hiring it to do that job.
Right.
But it turns out in the end, what they wanted was something that would fulfill these needs. And that was the job that the milkshake was doing for them. And really, it applies to pretty much everything. It has definitely been applied more to consumer products. Mm-hmm. But now many software companies, ourselves included, are starting to look at what is the job that our customers are hiring our software to do for them.
Right.
So that's kind of,
Clayton said, you know, if you understand the job, then how to improve that job becomes obvious. So as a company, you then understand, how do we make it better? How do we market it better? Right? Because Clayton was talking about, you know, they improved the texture and the consistency and they didn't sell more milkshakes. But then when they understand that customers are getting this first thing in the morning to handle their long commute, it becomes more obvious about how you make it better or how you market it. So I thought that was so interesting. So yeah, let's talk a little bit more about why jobs to be done actually matters for a company who might be, you know, selling a product or providing a service for people.
Well, if you think about it, there's a lot of reasons why somebody might want to buy or hire a visitor check-in software. And it's funny because I can't proclaim that I'm a full expert on jobs to be done. I'm still just getting into it and enjoying learning about it, but I definitely want to apply it to our business. And if you think about it, somebody might just say, oh, simply, well, they're just hiring the receptionist to check in visitors and then be able to have a digital visitor log of their visitors and maybe print out a badge. But it turns out the job that people are hiring our software to do in many cases is very different than what we had originally thought. We have one fitness studio that runs their entire business on our software. Basically, what happens is they have personal trainers, and the way their business model works is they charge the personal trainer for the amount of time that their clients come in to use the facility. Well, what they were doing previously before they hired our software to do the job was they would have a logbook about a month to be able to get all the billing out, because they had to go through each log entry and determine which trainer had which client. They purchased our software, and we found out about this afterwards, so that now they have a log. Somebody comes in, checks in with a personal trainer, checks out with a personal trainer, and now they have a digital log that they can export in CSV, download, bring into Excel, and they say now they can do their billing in about 15 to 20 minutes. So that was a job they wanted to solve. They wanted the job they were hiring our software to do was to be able to manage their personal trainers and make sure they had accurate records. And so our software did the job brilliantly.
And I would imagine that keeps their trainers happier too. Because I actually was a personal trainer many, many years ago. And the way that we got paid is we had this little paper card and there was a date and the person had to sign the card. And then I had to go to a computer system and log it. And there were lots of places where things could go wrong. And you get your paycheck and you're like, this is not correct. This is not correct right at all. I'm missing money. And that's so frustrating for everyone involved and a waste of time. So what a brilliant way to use your system.
Right. Well, now if you take that example of that job to be done, we could go out and instead we would be marketing as, hey, we're a visitor checking system. But really what it means is now we can go out and potentially say to fitness studios or to, you know, different places where there are personal trainers, you can use our software to log the time that people come in. And then we're actually presenting a case to them and other customers can say, man, that's the job I need that software to do for me as well. So it's really, this is why I get so excited about it, because it really allows us to go beyond just, hey, do you want a visitor check-in system? It's much more than that. But you have to know what jobs the customers are hiring your software to do.
Yeah. So for anyone listening who, you know, maybe either is a user of the receptionist or is considering it, you know, they can also think about this for their business as well. You know, it's not just
correct
about what are they hiring your software to do, but what services or products are they providing? Do they create that they could figure out the jobs to be done as well?
Right. Exactly. I mean, I say it's definitely a two-way street. I want to find out what our customers are hiring our software to do so we can understand better. But for our customers, I think it's also good for them to be thinking about what job do I need the software to be able to do for them? I mean, for, you know, for their own needs and their own business.
Right. Because, you know, people who are looking to kind of level up their front office and change things up, they don't just want to purchase things haphazardly. And obviously the receptionist is great and it's got a lot of fantastic uses, but it is helpful for them to think about what is the job to be done? What is it that I am trying to integrate or implement in my front office? And how does the receptionist meet those needs?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And, you know, before we started recording, we were talking about a great example, another jobs to be done, about the Snickers bar.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, I think you should start off with what your story is.
So it's so interesting. So before Andy and I sort of started talking about all these jobs to be done, earlier this week, I had to go to CVS with my kids. It was about 3:45. We needed some sunscreen because we were going to be out of sunscreen for our swimming lessons the next day. And of course, you know, my kids are asking for all sorts of stuff. We were going to be eating out later and I was hungry. So I was like, what am I going to get? Oh, I should get a Snickers because, you know, I'm hungry and I do have a sweet tooth. And there are all of those commercials out there about how you are not, you know, yourself when you're feeling hangry. So you should eat a Snickers. So I bought the Snickers. And then, you know, fast forward a day or two later, I'm doing my research on jobs to be done. And Nathan Contney talks about this example of Snickers and how they realized their job to be done was not this sweet candy and to, you know, compete with Milky Way. It's meal replacement. The job that people are looking for is I need to replace a meal. In my case, it was, you know, a mid between, you know, lunch and dinner meal. And that's exactly what happened. And I thought, oh my gosh. It's working. And this Snickers, you're doing it.
Yeah. Nathan Contney is another one that I think we'll probably provide links to and stuff. But I think it's an excellent example because if you think about it, if you look at the candy aisle of maybe a convenience store or anywhere else, it is a sea of candy bars and candy and everything else.
Yes.
And so at Snickers, what they decided was they realized that people were purchasing this and buying Snickers to do the job of the meal replacement or to, in your case, hold you over from one place to another. So they have the famous Danny DeVito commercials who is, you know, hangry and then all of a sudden changes as soon as he changes into, has a Snickers bar. And it's amazing because that was as a result of them recognizing that people are buying Snickers to do the job of holding over their hunger until maybe the next meal or whatever. And now they've gone crazy with it. Now they're branding each one of the bars and saying, you know, are you hungry? And they have little snippets on it and things like that. And they're wildly successful. So that just in and of itself tells you how important it is to know about what the job is you want done by anything that you're purchasing, any product you're purchasing.
Yeah, absolutely. And being hangry is no joke. We actually talked in the first episode about how the receptionist actually helps you be less hangry at work because you can be notified that your food is there. And you don't have to wait for it and people aren't trying to find you. So I take my hangriness very seriously. I have two young kids who don't want me to be very hangry. So I love that Snickers helps and I love that the receptionist helps with that. So we've touched a little bit on the receptionist and what it does. So if you had to guess, what do you feel are the jobs to be done that people are hiring the receptionist to do?
That's a great question. I try to spend a lot of time talking to customers because I want to learn from them. And this is even pre-jobs to be done. I just wanted to know what is it that caused you to buy the software? What was the challenge that you were experiencing that you needed to solve? For instance, a manufacturing facility that I went to, they were just ecstatic about our software. And for me to get into the manufacturing facility, which does pretty high level electronic manufacturing. So it has to be secure. And there's a piece of compliance that as a US manufacturer, you have to comply with called CTPAT. And this particular company needed to make sure that they were logging all of their visitors, that they were badged correctly. And so I went in, it's an older facility, and I went in and they had a locked door situation. Well, instead of there being my having to pick up a phone, or buzz something, or just hope somebody walks by to let me in the door, I used our software and I checked in with the person I was there to meet. And that person, automatically after I checked in, it printed a badge and they kept the badge inside the office. So only employees could get the badge that was printed based on my check-in. So the person who came to meet me to talk about our software and their company had the badge in his hand, opened the door and said, "Hey, Andy, how are you doing?" He even had a picture of me when it came through on the notification, so he knew what I looked like had there been four or five people in the lobby. And so he handed me the badge. He said, could you put the badge on? You have to be badged as you walk around. And it was clear that what the job, as we talked about it, the job they were trying to solve was, or the job they were trying to hire the receptionist to do, was to be able to check in visitors, but also to give them a better experience mm-hmm. than picking up a phone and hoping for the best that they would actually find somebody or ringing some bell. It improved the image of the company. So that's one thing we hear a lot of times. It improved the safety because they know who's in the facility at any time. When I left, I had to check out. So now they know exactly when I was there and every visitor was there.
Yeah.
And for security as well, that helps their security. And in their situation, this is earlier on, I'd never heard of CTPAT. He said, Andy, do you realize that your software complies with CTPAT based on the way you built it? And I said, no, I didn't realize. He said, you know, I'm going to share some information with you.
Wow.
And since then, we've actually put out cases about how to comply with CTPAT based on a visitor management and how to use our software to do it. So that's just one of the many jobs to be done that I learned from going and talking to a company. And I've done tons of customer visits and I continue to do them.
Yeah, well, it just shows how important that is because you didn't realize that happy accident that you had created software that really filled that security and compliance need. And then that's great to be able to build on that, to tell other customers about that, because that is something that is so important. And I like what you said, that it's about the customer experience and sort of the job on that side of things, of a good customer experience and setting them up positively. But then it's also the job to be done on the business's side of, we need security, we need a record, we need to know when someone is coming and going from our facility. So that's really interesting to think of both sides of the equation.
Exactly. Yeah. And so there's been, and I could probably go on for a while on this. So there are, I guess, probably one of the struggles we'll have, because I am embarking on this journey down jobs to be done, is to determine all of the different jobs that people are hiring us to do, because they're so varied and there's so many of them. In many cases, we may not be able to go after all of them. So we'll have to determine which are the most important jobs and how do we recast our software as something that allows you to get that job done, kind of like the Snickers bar. We want to be the Snickers bar of visitor management. We're not the only company out there. And so we want to know that we can begin to evolve into something that's going to answer specific needs of customers and really speak to them.
Right. So, you know, if a company is sitting here listening and going, oh, I've learned so much about the receptionist and the jobs that I can hire it to do, but maybe they're also thinking about, well, I need to figure out the jobs to be done for mm-hmm. my product or my company. You've touched on something really interesting, that you're going to gather a lot of information about the variety of jobs that people are hiring your software or your product to do. So even though you're still at the beginning stages, do you have any thoughts on how you sort of sort through that or prioritize that information that you get from those interviews?
I think a lot of it is commonality. I think it is that as we start to hear the same things over and over again, you know, and when you ask a customer why they chose our software, they'll always say, oh, it's just to, you know, check in visitors. And, you know, we wanted to have a better image. We wanted to get rid of the paper visitor log, which honestly isn't the job they hired the software to do, but they're not thinking about it. You know, so that's why one of the things that I've learned by watching a lot of videos about jobs to be done is that jobs to be done interviews are really hard. Because you have to keep saying, if I were interviewing, I'd have to say, well, Sarah, what were you thinking exactly on Tuesday at 3 p.m. when you decided to put your credit card in to convert from a free trial to a paid trial? And what was going on for you at that time? Was there anything going on in your life at that time that, you know? And so I've heard a lot of these jobs to be done interviews. There's one, there's a mattress interview.
Yes.
Which is brilliant.
We'll link to that as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they spent an hour asking this poor guy, why did you buy this mattress at Costco instead of like at a mattress store? And it was amazing that as you dig further and further in, you start to realize there are so many things that customers aren't really thinking about, but that are affecting the decision that they're making that really cause them to hire something to do the job for them.
Yeah. I mean,
and so that's what,
that's an interesting one. I really think people should listen to it because it starts off, it seems like it's an impulse purchase at Costco. It's like the last thing he gets.
Right.
And really, as you dig into it, it's like a 4 or 5 year journey that led to the purchase of this mattress at Costco.
Right, exactly. And if they had just said, so why did you buy this mattress? That person probably would have said, I bought it as a, you know, impulse purchase on the way out. And then you would have stopped there. But then all of a sudden you realize, wait, they had a mattress they didn't like. And the wife liked the other mattress.
Right.
And they'd gone back and forth. And he had actually looked at 7 different mattresses and tried them. And didn't want to lay on the mattresses other people had laid on in a store. So it was really, really interesting. So, you know, getting back to that question, I think we have to really, it just takes time to do all that research and then try to figure out where are those common threads. What, when Snickers goes to a meal replacement, I'm sure they had all sorts of discussions with people, but they finally realized people are buying this because they're hungry, and that's why they bought it. And so then they can start to create that commonality and then start creating that message that speaks to people where you walk in and say, I'm hungry. What do I get? I don't really want a bag of M&Ms. I don't want this. I'm going to get a Snickers, you know?
Well, it's a little risky too for a company, right? I mean, even though you're doing the research and you're gathering information from your people, it's still a bit risky to say, okay, we're going to take a slight left turn, or maybe in some ways it's a major turn and, you know, rebrand a bit or remarket. I mean, that could be big for a company to do.
It can be, but I mean, thank God we're not a $4 billion company. It's really hard to do that, you know? So we're nimble, we're small, and there's a lot of competition out there. We have a lot of unique characteristics of our software. We have proprietary features to our software, and those are all great. But I think if we can also speak to our customers about what they need and what job they're there to do, that I think is going to really have an impact on our business. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So before we finish up today, do you have any other final thoughts about how jobs to be done might influence either the receptionist in the future or other companies in general?
I think we touched on it. The one thing I think that is important when I think this is more for customers than ourselves, I've talked a lot about ourselves, is that before they start the journey on the visitor management software path, it is kind of important to try to figure out recasting it in what job am I hiring this software to do? Because I think if you can really dig into that, you can figure out which one of the visitor management systems are going to be the best fit for you. I'm not saying that we're going to be the best fit for every customer out there. There's sometimes where they ask us for use cases where we say our software just doesn't do that. We're very honest with our customers that way. So I think it's really as you're trying to determine why is it we're going from a paper logbook and what is it we're trying to achieve, that's sort of what job am I hiring this software to do? And then does the company I'm looking at match that? And so I think that's probably the most important thing.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, like you said, it's important to be honest with your customers that if you can't fill their need, if you can't, you know, match the job that they're trying to hire you to do, then they shouldn't hire you. And for anyone who is, you know, considering the receptionist, obviously you've got a great 14-day free trial so they can try it out and see if it works, if they are hiring it for the correct jobs that they have to be done.
Yeah, and on top of that, we have full chat support and phone support and email. So as they're going through the trial, and this is what customers do, they spend time with us and say, sometimes they'll even say, look, they won't say this is the job we're hiring you to do, but they'll say it in different ways. They'll say, these are the problems we're trying to solve. Can you help me with that? And we work very closely with our customers to make sure that we can. Sometimes they say they want to do something and we can't solve it, but most of the time we can and we're a good fit.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for your time about jobs to be done. And we look forward to hearing more at a later point about how that's working out for the receptionist and what you're learning and how it's going.
Sounds great. I look forward to it. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you. We hope that you got some good insight into happiness, what we've got going on to ensure that our team and our clients are happy, and maybe what you would like to do to increase the satisfaction or measure that satisfaction for your own clients and customers. And if you'd like to check out our 2-week free trial with no credit card required and to see what we do to make our potential customers and then customers happy, check us out at thereceptionist.com.